Mrs. Zahn, do you want to do this, please? You can use that microphone, just got to turn it on the front. I'm going to mute the phone, folks, until we're done with the presentation.
So I included in your packet a little overview of the federal
Pull
law.
Pull closer to you.
Of the federal law that'll take place April 2nd, basically giving 2 weeks of sick leave to all employees, including people that are not benefited. They will all get 2 weeks of sick leave to use for any absences basically related to COVID-19. In addition, any employee that's been on payroll for 30 days will also be eligible for the FMLA for up to 12 weeks off for the care of a child that is out of school or daycare. The only thing that we can really do to change the federal law is exclude emergency responders if we so choose. I believe, and they can correct me if I'm wrong, both the police and fire chief would like to exclude the emergency responders. At this time, there is no Department of Labor definition yet on who emergency responders are. We assume, of course, that those are police and fire. Some communities are also trying to use that to exclude dispatchers and public works employees.
So the request in front of you, so what is the net impact if, for example, police officers decided that they have kids at home, they could leave work, get paid for at what?
Two-thirds the rate.
Two-thirds their rate.
We could lose about 60 police and fire employees.
60 police and fire employees for 2 weeks.
12 weeks.
12 weeks at two-thirds there.
Correct.
Chief Oliva?
I fully support the exempting of emergency responders, or at least the police officers. I'd like to see dispatchers too, but I understand there may be an issue with that, but I support the exempting of officers at this time from that act.
Chief Remington?
On the fire side, I support that as well. The reality is our people know that they are expected to be on the front lines. Would some people take advantage of it? Possibly, but the vast majority of our people know that this is what they signed up for. They're emergency responders. This is an emergency.
I've had some conversations with my counterparts. They're looking to include DPW as well. That's a common council decision. You have an opinion? Alderman Taylor.
I appreciate what both chiefs have said, and I would imagine, I would hope that our officers and firefighters know that this is their calling. They're supposed to be here for this, you know. Now, there's abuse all the time. Doesn't matter what department, what municipality, we know that. We've seen it. We've had it here. We know that. We're in a situation though where we cannot not exclude them. You know, we right. Absolutely have to, because what happens if this, I don't know, do they apply as well? So then what happens if nurses in all these hospitals say, you know what, I got a kid at home and I'm not going to go in when we need them the most? So this is where, and these are, you know, trying times for everybody. Do you think I want to sit home for 30 days? That's not my personality, number one. Okay, but by myself for 30 days, my hair is going to be, luckily I went grocery shopping. I mean, people are worried I wouldn't have enough food. But anyways, so this is definitely something that we need to do. When it comes to DPW, I think, Glenn, you should put some thought into it. But, I mean, I've got for years and years, when we talk about public safety, I've always said, please fire DPW. Winter times, they don't clear the roads, you guys can't get there. You know, the police department can't be monitoring parks. You know, I drove by here to Kayla's playground today. There was three cars in there. Now, I don't know if they were just walking the trails or not, but the playgrounds are closed. I didn't pay attention. I was trying to get here. But we can't have our officers paying attention to those types of things. That should be DPW's job. So I think I would exempt them as well. If I'm sitting there saying we need more DPW guys or we need this because they're public safety, then they're public safety now.
Well, let me add one more thing. Chief, I don't know that you mentioned it, but you're trying to organize daycare at the station as well. There is the daycare provider that is offered to provide free daycare for public safety employees. The city is working on our own daycare solution. You know, it's not like we're letting people out there on their own. Alderman Nelson?
Just to kind of go back to this two-thirds pay rate, now, if we go back one thing, just for that, just for the record, if you are off 12 weeks of FMLA, it's only 12 weeks if you have 12 weeks in the books. Okay? It's you're granting them 12 weeks of, because I'm you know, looking at comparing this to the county's plan, where the county will give you the full rate of pay for up to for the 3 weeks, because we're saying 2 weeks during this 2 week period, let's say you stay home with a sick child or whatever the case may be, the county is paying in full, and that's what I like to support, is having them paid in full. This is paying them two-thirds of their wage for that part of it. Is that correct? Item six or number six on this?
Glenn.
Well, just she just wants to use your thing there maybe too.
Somebody got some alcohol?
Yeah. The 12 weeks, actually the first 2 weeks of their child care leave would be unpaid unless they want to substitute vacation or sick time. The other 10 weeks is fully paid by the city at the two-thirds rate. That does not go against any other FMLA time. It's just additional time that they're given off with this new law.
Okay.
Mayor?
1 second.
I'll yield to Kristen.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I appreciate both chiefs stepping up and making those comments right off the bat. I do agree that, you know, it is their duty, although their duties do come with risks. Don't like to see them in that situation. So I'd like to know what type of equipment. Do they have all the safety equipment do they need? Do they have masks and gloves and everything they need to protect them?
Right. Speaking from
Chief Remington,
the fireside, we have been working, the fire chiefs group, with our medical director to craft response guidelines that maximize and extend the life of the relatively small supply of personal protective equipment. That's part of the response plan. It minimizes the use of this. We do not use it on every patient. We do not want to get into that practice because it will run out. So it is prioritized based on the conditions and presentation of the patient, and at this time they have all the appropriate equipment in place. And the units that are responding for suspected COVID cases are dedicated to respond for COVID cases, so we are not cross-contaminating other units. If that answers your question, do you have any other questions?
Well, that is helpful. I just hope everyone is making sure that, you know, we keep up on that, because it could get you know, pretty bad pretty quickly, and I hate to see you get behind on having the equipment you need. So we should probably work very diligently on getting that. The other thing I had is as far as workers' comp, I'm going to guess that would still apply, and we're not going to have any special difficulties with them from exempting them and having workers' comp issues. I could say that would be correct, right?
I know you understand, Alderman Wilhelm, that this does not have any dealings with any health issues with the officer or the firefighter. This is purely to do with taking care of children at home. I know you understand that.
Right, I do. I'm just making those points about what they are going to be exposed to as well.
Alderman Nelson.
Police Department.
I'm sorry. Let's do the chief. Chief Oliva.
No, Chief Oliva here. Yeah, Chief Oliva. I was just going to comment that we have, I would say, several weeks of personal protective equipment available to our officers. We are doing everything we can to keep that supply up. It is a challenge. There are many sources that are drying up quickly. I can say that we've been resourceful in trying to get equipment and supplies for our department. We've been keeping it disinfected and supplied as best as we can. It is somewhat challenging, and we will work diligently to provide the equipment and supplies needed to keep our personnel safe.
By the way, Glitz Nail is dropping off a bunch of masks and gloves tomorrow. Mm-hmm. They're not N95s, but whatever. Alderman Nelson, you still have the floor.
Dana, so we can go back to the thing I was trying to get some clarification on. So if we're going with the two-thirds normal pay rate, if somebody right now decides they're going to take the 80 hours off, they're a full-time employee, and they're going to take the 80 hours off, not because they believe they have COVID-19, but because they're going to care for a child, okay? And they want to take those 80 hours off, that's the 80 hours I'm talking about. Do they get paid in full, or is that the two-thirds?
Any time off that they take for their child would be at the two-thirds rate.
Okay. And that two-thirds, how was that determined? I'm just asking because the county is full, other places are full. Full pay and not to two-thirds. Just wondering how that was determined.
That's how the federal law is written.
Okay.
If you take off for yourself, you get 100% of your hourly pay. Right. If you take off for any of your family member, it's two-thirds pay.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions from anyone? I'm sorry, Mr. City Engineer.
I haven't had a chance to talk to Kevin, but after thinking about it, the guys understand that that they're first responders too, where it's been defined, and they're perfectly willing to step up and middle of the night do snowplow issues, so I don't think they'll have any problem with this also.
Okay.
I helped set that up. I laid that for you for Data Home. It was a so underhanded softball.
That's the correct answer. Is there a motion to exclude coverage for emergency responders to include police, fire, dispatch, DPW, under the family?
As long as it's understood, it's not the administrative staff, DPW.
Oh, wait a minute. Under the Family First Coronavirus Response Act and authorized human resource coordinator to include the required amendment to the FMLA sick leave policy in the employee handbook.
So I made a motion.
Alderman Wilhelm, you made the motion?
Yes, I did.
And I second it.
All right. Let's do a roll call just because everybody's on the phone.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries. Five ayes, no noes, one absent, no abstentions. Congratulations. Okay. So item C3 is a resolution to amend a resolution ratification of a proclamation declaring public health emergency to modify to include telephone and or electronic audio and video communication to that emergency order. Discussion? Is there a motion to adopt the resolution? Alderman Wilhelm.
When will we see the video portion, or will we?
This is to allow sometime in the future, but this is to allow us to use Zoom or Skype or something like that.
Yes, I understand it's allowed. I'm just curious on when we might be doing that. That's all.
As soon as we can. Best I can do for you. If you want to help with that, feel free.
I already have today, thanks.
Okay, good. So there we go, right?
We'll have it by next meeting. Thanks, Kristen.
Well done, man.
Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
My school move.
You're second now. Barbara second, Dandrea first. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to 19.85 sub 1 sub e for market competition and bargaining reasons to deliberate and consider terms relating to public improvements for projects development within tax incremental district number 4, Franklin Corporate Park, including but not limited potential agreements for a wastewater pumping station improvement, South Hickory Street corridor utility improvement, construction services with regard to such projects, construction observation and testing services with regard to such projects, and for West Elm Road development and public improvement projects, and the acquisition of property and property rights necessary for the public improvement projects, and the investment of public funds and governmental actions in relation thereto, and to affect such developments, and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate.
No.
Barbara gets a second again. Madam Clerk.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
We have, we're in closed session. Chief, you're dismissed.
Thank you.
It is 6:24. We're back in open session. Is there, Mr. City Attorney?
The council may wish to entertain a motion to direct staff to proceed with the West Elm Road right-of-way property acquisitions as discussed in closed session.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm?
No.
Madam Clerk?
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
No.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderman Nelson?
Aye.
Four ayes, one no, no, one absent, no abstentions. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. We are adjourned.